KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome to the show. I'm Chris Fiorentino and I have the pleasure of hosting this show and bringing these really amazing and energizing stories about the Fresno State students, faculty, and staff who serve our community in all kinds of great ways. In addition to hosting the show, I'm also the director of the Jan and Bud Richter Center for Community Engagement and Service Learning at Fresno State. So in that role, I work directly with a large number of people all across campus and in the community who are involved in these different service initiatives. And even after 27 years doing this work, I'm still learning about these amazing programs and people. One of those individuals who I've actually known for a while is Professor John Pryor. And the program that John has been working on for many years is the Archaeology Field School and a project run in the Sierra Foothills called the Granddad Site. And so we're going to be talking with John and with three of his students about that project. So John, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're happy to have you. And would you please introduce yourself to the listeners?
So I'm Dr. John Pryor. I've been at Fresno State about 30 years. I'm a professor of anthropology. So we study people, but my specialty is digging up the garbage of past people. That's what archaeologists do. And so I have the opportunity every year, my favorite class, is to teach archaeology in the field. And so I get to bring students out to learn archaeology. It's really the best way by doing. And we also are able to teach Native Americans. And so they learn archaeology, the Native Americans learn archaeology, but my students get to learn about Native Americans.
Yeah. And we'll talk a lot about that project in particular, the field school project. And hopefully we have a little bit of time to talk about this idea of what kinds of historical garbage you find in those places, as I like that term, because it's certainly not garbage, that's for sure. Joining John are three of his students who've been involved in the field school before at the Granddad site. There's Barbara Vasquez, Jacob Ruvalcaba, and Jose Avianeda. Is that right, Jose? Okay. I told Jose before. I was afraid I was going to butcher that. Barbara, let's start with you. Maybe you'd tell everybody about yourself.
Hi, yes. So my name is Barbara Vasquez. I actually just recently graduated with a double major in criminology and anthropology. However, I focused in anthropology because I really realized that that was my passion. I've been doing archaeology work with Dr. Pryor for almost 3 years, is it? And I started up at Granddad, actually, and I met some of my best friends. I came into college not really knowing anybody, and through Granddad is how I met some really close people to me.
Great. Well, thank you for being here. We're happy you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Jacob, you're next. Maybe you'll tell everybody a little about yourself.
Hi, my name is Jacob Ruvalcaba. I'm a senior here at Fresno State. Just recently last year, after attending field school with John, I decided to become an anthropology major with an emphasis in archaeology. Mm. Yeah, I'm from Downey, California, down south.
Well, we're glad you're here, and we're glad you're here in the studio, not to mention at Fresno State. And then lastly, Jose, welcome, and maybe you'll introduce yourself to the listeners.
Thanks for having us, Chris. Pleasure to be here. My name is Jose Avianeda. I'm a homegrown kid, born and raised in Fresno, went to Roosevelt High School, Fresno City College, and now here at Fresno State. I got introduced to Dr. John Pryor through Dr. Delcor.
Hank Delcor, shout out to Hank.
He saw that I had an interest in geology, and although I started off as a cultural emphasis, he thought archaeology would fit my interest a little more. So I did an introductory archaeology course last year with Dr. John Pryor, and I loved it.
Yeah, and you mentioned the cultural anthropology piece. Mm-hmm. So the archaeology program is under the anthropology department here. And I think that there's a mistake that anthropology and archaeology and, you know, all it is it's about history. And it isn't, right? I mean, there is anthropology and archaeology of current societies and individuals. Is that correct?
That's correct. So,
yeah. We have actually three subfields. One is physical anthropology, one is archaeology, and one is cultural. But all of them are interrelated. And so I work with living people as much as I work with their garbage. One of the neat things is, so I've got two individuals who are going to be coming back as supervisors. Barb here took it as a newbie. It's a class you can take twice, and then you can come back as a supervisor. It's great for me because, you know, I can't be everywhere at once. So each hole, I try to have an experienced student. And my philosophy has always been to have students teach students. So it's the best way to learn something. And so they get on their resume that they were a supervisor, and I get some help.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a great leadership and, as you say, teaching experience for the students. You've been teaching this particular class and working up at the Granddad site for how long now, John?
So it's been over 20 years. And, you know, I think about how the evolution of my understanding of that place is. I'll tell you that it's on Native American land. So a Native American family over 20 years ago, Roger Lajeunesse was doing some work in Yosemite where some human remains had been washed out. And a family member then said, well, gee, we have a village site on our property. Can you come out and look at it? And they said, well, could you then, you know, help us learn about it?
Mm-hmm.
And so they've just been absolutely wonderful in terms of sharing. So Granddad is actually Dawn Appling's father. Now Ed Appling, her brother, got it, and now it went to his son.
The property owners. And
yeah.
The,
So, but they've just been wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's helped. They've taught us, and we've taught about. It's a site that has 10,000 years of prehistory in one place. So almost the whole sort of sweep of
10,000 years.
Probably 9,000, 10,000.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about some of the artifacts and how you date some of that stuff. You know, I want to back up. You and I have known each other for many years now, and you came through a service learning course redesign workshop and this Anthropology 101 class and redesigned it to include service learning components. And I knew a little bit about the fieldwork project, and I knew about your interest and your involvement, but it wasn't until the most recent Fresno State magazine that came out. I think it was November, maybe, that it was released. And there's the feature article is on your project and on the work that you do up at the Granddad site. And as I'm reading it, I thought, you know, John's told me about this several times, and I'm too dense to understand something sometimes. And as I read this article, it really kind of came to life for me. I was really amazed at, number one, the longevity, the way that you utilize the students, the way that they're involved, the way you incorporate the Native American culture into this work. And I'd like to touch on a lot of that, but I guess the first thing is where is the Granddad site?
It's up sort of between Angel's Camp and Sonora, kind of near Bootjack in the kind of low foothills. It has a southern exposure, and it has an artesian spring.
Okay.
And John Pryor's first law of archaeology, if there was such a thing, would be that wherever you have an artesian spring, you've got an old village site.
Because
water is life.
Yeah.
And it's not just runoff. And so even during drought years, it produces tremendous amounts of water. And facing towards that artesian spring is Olexmakayi, the old toad woman. And she has a cupule rock, but she has sort of, it's a fertility of land and people. And so every year I tell my students, do not touch the rock. 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 And of course they touch the rock.
Yeah.
And we've had 10 kids that were born as a result.
Some
intended. I just heard that there was one woman who was told she was infertile and she's going to have a child. So, you know, it's.
You guys be really, really careful about that.
Yeah,
rock,
yeah.
Right? I'll remember that. So what's the Native American group that historically was on this site?
So it's Miwok territory. Now, of course, going back in time, it's a little hard to say, but it's kind of a boundary area between Chukchansi and Miwok. The current landowner is both Miwok and Chukchansi.
Okay.
But we know Granddad was actually a white person, but he had married into an Indian family, but was part of a long heritage of the Lawrences and the Leonards, which are old-time families. And so I've always been interested in how people come back to the places they kind of homesteaded there.
So now maybe kind of taking a step back and give us the 2-minute spiel about why archaeology is important. Why is digging around at this site and digging up Native American garbage, as you've said, why is that important?
I think that there are lots of lessons that you can learn on many different levels. You know, every year I certainly am gifted by insights from my students or from the place itself. And I think that, A, it's all of our heritage. So for Native Americans, they certainly have an attachment to that place. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was asking an elder, what is the meaning of life? And he said, just 3 things. Number one is take care. And so I stressed to my students, take care of the land. We need to leave this place better. This year, I'm hoping to have a no-waste field school.
Mm.
So that's number one. Take care of each other. Take care of the land. We're a community when we're there. Number two, learn. You know, learn something every day. Granddad has all these wonderful opportunities to learn about archaeology, learn about Native Americans, learn about each other. And then the third is be happy. You know, I think we strive to, you know, I didn't get enough of that unit dug, or, I didn't find enough artifacts, or, you know, I think being content. my mother actually heard all three of those, and she said, oh, that's great.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So. If we could only follow a couple of them, much less all three. How large is the site? What are we talking about in terms of what you've excavated so far and the village?
Yeah, I mean, we've actually probably got a larger sample of this site. We've dug more holes in the ground than all of Yosemite archaeology. You know, we've worked there for 20 years.
Wow.
And so I think we probably have 72 2x2 holes. But the site is huge.
Okay.
I mean, it covers a broad area, and we've worked on different parts of it. Native Americans often ask me, well, how long are you going to work there? Well, I've got 6 more years at the university until I retire. But I always sort of say that the place will tell me.
Yeah.
You know,
when you stop digging up interesting stuff, right?
Yeah. And so there's so much more to learn. We've really been focusing the last 7 years on a chief's house, which is an earthen-covered structure. And I don't really dig to artifacts. I mean, I usually tell my students, you know, I know pretty much every arrowhead we're going to get this year.
Yeah.
Although then I always will find something new. The site will prove me wrong. But for me, it's what we call features, which are structures. That really tells the story of the place. And so the commoners would have lived in brush houses, but the Native American chiefs would have been in these daub houses. And so we've been excavating an entire one.
And if I remember right from the article, it looks like it burnt down at some point in time. And so you've been kind of recreating that to try and figure out.
Yeah, we actually did a fascinating project with the Tachi. They asked us to come down and build a tule house and put daub on top of it and then burn it down. And so I've known about it archaeologically, but to actually make a daub structure, in the morning I'd go, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
By the afternoon, it's like, huh, maybe I know what I'm doing. But it was this wonderful partnership with the Native Americans. I had a former student who's getting her PhD at University of San Diego, and she had thermocouples in there. This will be a chapter in her dissertation. So it was this wonderful intersection of Native American interests and academic interests, mm-hmm. and that's really what I always strive for.
So clearly, there's a real keen interest and appreciation for the Native American culture in this project. And you've talked a little bit about this idea of blending traditional archaeology and Native American culture, bringing up individuals from the Native American tribes, learning from them. You're not Native American, correct? So
no.
This has been a real learning experience for you, both in terms of learning about Native American culture, but as sometimes that blending between a traditional science of archaeology and Native American culture presented some challenges?
And it is. I've been doing a lot of historical work on Native American families, and I realized that, you know, folks turn of the century lived in two worlds. They were loggers, miners, and ranchers, but they were Native Americans.
Mm.
And so they really danced in two worlds. I came to the realization, damn, I'm dancing in two worlds, that I'm a white person. I don't have any Native American blood. But yet, by my working with Native Americans, you know, I respect their tradition and their view. And I've come to the realization that there are multiple ways of learning, that I've learned so much from the archaeology, but the place itself will just teach me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you listen, the way that the land, the way the breeze plays, and the way the light, none of that changes. That's all the same. There's much that other has changed. But I started sort of perceiving it as maybe a little bit of how the Native Americans would and respecting those traditions. A couple years back, I had a wonderful Native American that came out, Jake Hunter. And we circle up in the morning and he tells stories and sings songs. And he was singing the Mama Bear song, which is one of my favorite ones. And I was driving back at our break halfway through. And I said, you know, I've been doing this for 45 years. And the archaeology I'm doing just isn't working for me anymore. I need to find a new archaeology that blends Native American perspectives and Western science. And, you know, I think that we have to look at the site from their sense of space and time and values.
Mm-hmm.
Because we create our world. And so how can we ever understand someone's past if we're trying to see it from our Western view of space and time?
Yeah.
And we have to value. We have to see that that artifact is not just a thing, but is imbued with the spirit of the person that made it. And if we can't respect that and understand that, what are we doing there?
Boy, I'm going to get off on all kinds of tangents, but I'll just make the statement. I want to turn to the students. I can only imagine that archaeology and other sciences are rife with a certain paradigm of the researcher, you know, putting their culture onto that piece, whatever it is, and having it completely wrong and finding out later on that that's not at all what that piece was for, and that's not at all how they used it. So,
And in fact, that's really the direction that the field is going. You know, I started this, and in fact, I went back to Jake Hunter and said, you know, this is what I want to do. And he said, oh, that's a long journey. And I said, but that's a long journey together because we have to do it as a partnership.
Yeah.
And all of this has to be collaborative, and you have to respect them and listen. I tell my students, if you ever tell a Native American in the field, oh, that's nothing, I'm going to come and kick your ass. You know, I'm like, no.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, or you got to respect them. Yeah. So, all right, enough of the professor speaking, right, students? Let's hear from you. Barbara, I want to start with you a little bit. When did you get involved and why?
I got involved 2012. I was just doing one major, and then the first time I met Dr. Pryor was during a job, like a school fair, and he was on the table by himself, and I approached him with my mom, and I was like, I'm really interested in this subject, but she was worried that I wasn't going to make money if I chose this field, and that's always a concern. And I remember Dr. Pryor saying, well, why can't she do both? Or, you know, there's always more opportunities, there's always more things she can do. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to follow my passion. So I ended up taking one of his classes, and I fell in love with the subject and how he was teaching and what he was talking about. And it really related with my background because I'm Mexican. So I'm Oaxacan, so I come from an indigenous part of Mexico. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost Native American in a way as well.
Yeah.
And I really related to what he was talking about, the culture, the people, the background. And I was like, hey, that's a way for me to express my culture also.
Yeah.
So I decided to take the field school, and I didn't know anybody. I went in camping. My parents were worried that I was going to not make it.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh my God, how is she going to stay out there by herself? But I survived, and I ended up making friends, and it just kind of took off from there. We made a really good group of students, and we all went in the same journey almost. And we went to Granite the first time, and it was amazing. We learned a lot, met a lot of people. We met a lot of Native Americans. One of them was Tony. He was super funny. Would always tell us a lot of stories and jokes. And then the next following year, we were like, you know what? We have to come back again, because why not? This place is amazing. The land is amazing. What we're learning is amazing. So we did. And the whole group of students that I made friends with came back, and we're all really good friends to this day.
So you've been twice, and will you go back again this coming summer?
I might, yeah, depending on my schedule.
Yeah, all right, I understand that. How has this affected you as a student, as a learner? I mean, what have you learned? How have you grown from this experience?
Well, one of them was respecting the artifacts. At first, I was like, oh, it's just about digging and seeing what we find. And
just an old era.
Yeah, what cool things we're going to get from the ground. But then as I started taking the classes, I was like, you know what, this is more than just the artifacts. This is about the people and the cultures that it's coming from, the past and what they have to say and who we're representing and what voices we're giving to people who didn't have a voice necessarily.
So you're learning about yourself while you're learning about the local Native American culture,
correct,
while you're learning about archaeology.
Yeah, and speaking up as a minority in the society in this day still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jose, how about you? How long have you been involved? How'd you get involved?
So I will be graduating this summer, and I plan on joining Dr. Pryor and this year's field school as a supervisor out there. So this will be my second year. And after doing it last year, I just fell in love with the, like Barbara said, the land. There's a river maybe 100 yards away from camp where we can all bathe in the evenings after a long day of excavating. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to go back, and I'm excited to hang out with the Native Americans and the students. We get to camp out there for 10 days, and it's half work, but half fun also.
Yeah. As a senior, you're getting ready to graduate, enter into the real world, right? How do you think this experience has impacted your future, your career, your future studies, those kinds of things?
Well, just learned so much through Dr. Pryor, and it all starts with respecting your elders. And I feel like they'll teach you the way as far as what you're looking for and what you want to do after school. So through Dr. Pryor, I've learned that I want to work with the Native Americans. I want to give these people a voice. I want to dig up their history, which many times was very suddenly buried and sometimes not even meant to be found. We're finding these people's history, and it's very exciting.
Wow. Jacob, how about you? What's your history with this project?
This will be my second year. Last year was the first time I had even done any type of excavating or even field school, and I absolutely fell in love with it. The relationships that we made out there were something that's going to stay with us for a lifetime. And not only that, but we had some Native American visitors come and give us their perspective on it. One visitor in particular, Mike, he was the director, I believe, for Tachi. And he came out, and he just on the side, we would talk, and he would teach me a few of his words in the native language. And I was just astonished, like, wow, I didn't know you can say stuff like that. I don't know what it means, but he would break it down. And he also taught us the connection between the spirituality of the land and the respect of the elders. And
such a part of their culture, right?
Oh, so much, yes. Definitely, they want to use the knowledge that they have, not the knowledge that they wish they had. So ask your elders, and they have a lot of wisdom, and we definitely learned a bunch from them.
Okay, I know we're running out of time. So, John, what's next for the Granddad site? And if somebody's listening and wants to be involved in some way, learn more, how can they find out?
Well, social media is always a good way, and certainly I have a Facebook page and an Instagram account.
How can they find you on there?
Circle Up Granddad, okay. John Pryor, and I've put up snippets of lecture, and we're working towards maybe even an actual virtual Granddad.
Yeah, I read that. Gosh, I wanted to talk about that too, a virtual tour of the Granddad site.
We had actually a former student who got virtual reality glasses, yeah. So you'd literally be in the hole.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're always happy to have visitors. We've actually had Boy Scout troops come out, and, you know, when we have kids come out, that's always great.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're always looking for ways to involve the public and Foothill communities.
So they can Google Granddad site, Fresno State Archaeology School or Archaeology Field School. Certainly your name, John Pryor at Fresno State. We'll post a link to your Granddad Facebook site and also links to other kinds of things. We do have a Facebook page, so to anybody listening who wants to take a look at some of that, just take a look at FS Service in Action. That's at FS Service in Action. We'll have all those links. We'll have pictures of all of our guests, and there'll be a lot of good pictures there of the work going on at the Granddad site as well. I hate this because I want to have an open format, long-term podcast, but you know, that doesn't work. So I'm just going to end it there and say, before we leave you, one last thank you to our guests, John Pryor, Barbara Vasquez, Jacob Rubalcaba, and Jose Avianeda, and to all of you who are listening. We love having you with us, and we would love to hear from you. So visit that Facebook site at FS Service in Action. Tell us what you think about today's show. Share us any information you'd like, and we will have a conversation. Please join us again next week when we bring you another inspiring, positive story about the good people doing great things for our community. We are Fresno State Service in Action, and we're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at kfsr.org. Thanks, and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.